Blog Talk Radio.
Take me to the King. I don't have much to bring. My heart is torn in pieces. It's my offering. Take me to the King.
Truth is, I'm tired. Options are few. I'm trying to pray, but where are you? I'm all churched out, hurt and abused. I can't face what's left. Truth is, I'm weak, no strength to fight, no tears to cry, even if I try, but still my soul refuses to die.
Wednesday at 7:30 p.m., you got the conversation with Keith, waking our urban people up.
followed by every Thursdays at 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time with the Relationship Hour with Pastor Mo discussing real life matters and ministry and relationships. Then you have Hip Hop Fridays interviewing and playing the hottest pure talent from all over the world at 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. And every Saturday at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, you are tuned in with the Dennis Live Show that is a general-based topic show interacting with the people. www.westernworld1.com.
North American Association of Basketball is calling all sophomores, juniors, seniors, and high school basketball players to attend this Saturday, April 6th, the 5th annual Chicago Basketball Showcase and College Expo. That's right, this Saturday from 12 noon to 5 p.m. Again, that's 12 noon to 5 p.m. at the Roe Clark Mountain Science. That's located 3645 West Chicago Avenue in Chicago, Illinois. Again, at the Roe Clark Mountain Science, located 3645 Chicago Avenue in Chicago, Illinois. If you are a player who plays for a team or not, got the talent, was looking for and need exposure, then this is for you. Must enroll in a high school, must have his or her school jersey or t-shirt. The event is totally free. Some come early to register. Over 100 players are expected to be there. Illinois coaches from various colleges and universities will be present. For more information, contact Greg Williams at 312-912-1336. Again, the phone number is 312-912-1336. Come on, y'all. Let's have some fun.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is the Relationship Hour with Pastor Mo and Brother Dennis, along with friends. And our friends join us when we have our roundtable discussion on the topics that we put forward on a weekly basis. And so, like always, we thank God for allowing us to see another day and yet bring us another week to speak to his people by way of internet radio on Blog Talk Radio. We're excited about how he is using us to provide information and hopefully provide support by way of giving information to deal with some of the issues that we face in relationships. And so this show is kind of seeking to help us as we move forward in trying to figure things out between one another. Relationship is kind of universal. It doesn't necessarily mean a man or a woman. It could be a son or a daughter, a mother-in-law or a father-in-law. Relationships cross different barriers. And so we seek to touch different topics or subjects on each week to help deal with relationships. Our theme scripture or our base scripture for the show is "My people perish from a lack of knowledge," and we know that's a lack of knowledge of who He is and who He is to us. And I believe our relationships would do a lot better if, at the core, we had God. And so we are constantly seeking Him to help us deal with all of the situations that we go through. We know that the Bible says, "I will lift up my eyes to the hills, for whence cometh my help? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth." And so in our times of trouble, we're not left alone. We can look and call on the name of the Lord, and He will show up. And so we also like to hear from you, the listener. And so we list the number at 347-838-9106 to call in to the program tonight. And if you have some feedback or if you have a comment or a testimony or a question for the panel, feel free to call in. We go for about 2 hours, and so we have enough time to get your call in. We also have a commentary piece that deals with the topic. And we're going to have a short commentary piece, and then we have our roundtable, open discussion, and then we take calls. So a full program tonight, a full show. And so we pray that this will be a blessing to you, and we pray that something is said that will help you along the way. And so tonight we're talking about taking for granted, unappreciated. We're talking about being taken for granted. You feeling unappreciated, and what does that represent to you? What does that mean to you, being taken for granted or unappreciated in your relationship? And so it's a very sensitive topic, one that you could just sit on a bus or on an L or talk to a friend or, you know, and somewhere in the conversation, if it's dealing with relationships, you will hear, you may hear, so-and-so taking me for granted. Well, I feel like I'm not appreciated. I do this, that, and the other. Or I have done this, that, and the other, and it's taken for granted. I'm not appreciated. And so tonight we're going to tackle that. We're going to look at, the warning signs of being taken for granted or being unappreciated. And then we're going to talk about hopefully what can we do in those instances or in that situation to kind of combat that. We don't want the spirit of not appreciating or taking somebody for granted to set up shop. And so the only way to deal with it is to have a game plan. And so we're going to kind of go over not only the warning signs, but we're going to go over the game plan on how to approach this issue. And so we're excited tonight. Myself and Brother Dennis, who will be joining us in a minute, we look forward to this every week, and that the responses that we have gotten have been great. And so this is not done in vain, but it is done to help somebody. And so we're excited about what's going on. Also, the app, the mobile app, you can now get the mobile app for Western World 1. If you just go to the website from your mobile phone and type in www.westernworld1.com, that's Western, Western, World, World, 1, O-N-E, not the number 1, .com, and it'll pull you up on the site, and it'll prompt you if you want to download the app. And so what the app allows you to do is if you're calling in or if you're listening to the different programmings that take place on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, you can simply hit that app, and it'll take you directly to the page and directly to the broadcast that you want to listen to for that day, or if you just want to browse around and see all of the different features that are listed on the website. If you have questions, there's a contact section where you can list your questions or get feedback. So it's very interactive. It's very informative. And so I would just say on your spare time or whenever, just go on and check it out. It's something for everybody. And so the mobile app, where you can have it on your phone, it'll give you a reminder of the different programs. And we thank God for the convenience, if you will, of making it easy to get information. And so after this song, after this next commercial, we're going to go right into the commentary. And out of the commentary, we're going to go into our roundtable. I see I got my people already ready. This is a good topic tonight. And so we look forward to a good conversation about being taken for granted or unappreciated. And so we look forward to you calling in and telling us what you think also.
Oh, yeah. I wonder if you really knew that I'd be guiding you.
Welcome back to the Relationship Hour with Pastor Mo and Brother Dennis. He'll be joining us a little bit later, but tonight we are talking about being taken for granted in the relationship. And the description on that is the feeling of being taken for granted can be psychologically and emotionally painful. Simply put, in relationships, when it feels like the other person is taking you for granted, it can cause resentment and frustration. And so the question becomes, or the question for discussion tonight is this a problem both for men and women, or is it more of the man who takes the woman for granted, or is it more of the woman who takes the man for granted? And so is it mutual, or is it one side heavier than the other? The warning signs for being taken for granted or unappreciated can be something as simple as never saying please or saying thank you. Something like not responding to your mate when they're speaking. Ignoring them. Or do you expect them to pick up after you? You know, pick up your clothes or pick up your dishes or whatever. No matter how much you do, is still not enough. Or never taking the time just to sit down and want to talk, give the appearance of wanting to be in conversation. Not making birthdays or anniversaries or special occasions a priority. So these are some of the signs. And let me just say, like I said last week, all of these topics are not a finger-pointing topic, but it's more of a topic that will allow us to have a conversation around issues that can cause stress on a relationship, that can cause relationships to fall apart or cause infidelity in a relationship. And so if we can talk about these issues, if we can bring them to the forefront, if we can gain some more knowledge and information about these, you know, in particular topics, and take the cover off of them, if you will, it will allow us to freely give ideas. It will allow us to freely say, you know what, I never thought about it like that, or I never knew that me doing this, that, or the other could create, if you will, a sense that I'm taking this person for granted, or that I don't appreciate what this person does. And so I'm sure there are countless examples of people who could give commentary on somebody not treating them in the way they feel they should be treated, or not doing for them in the way they feel they should be doing for them, or not appreciating them in the way they feel they should be appreciated. And so we're going to go down these different topics tonight. But before we do that, and before we get to the round table, I got the callers already coming in. I want to give commentary from the Bible that will help us deal with different topics that we discuss on a weekly basis, give us a reference point. So when you get off the line tonight, or the internet, if you're listening by way of internet, you can go to the Bible, you and your mate, and have a conversation around the scriptures. One thing the scriptures do is it take away the I factor. It take away the I'm right spirit. And it allows you to discuss the Holy Writ. It allows you to discuss something that you didn't write or your mate didn't write, but it was written for you and your mate. And so tonight's commentary will be coming out of 1 Peter chapter 3. And if you want to write this down, please do, because I wouldn't just want you to take the commentary from me and that's it. But I would love it if you would go back. And that's the part of healing and helping, is that you and your mate can get in an intimate environment where you're not busy, the phone not ringing, the television is off, and you can just find a harmonious place, or a place where you feel good, and open the book, you know, and just go over this. And if you don't understand it, if you have a spiritual advisor, you can call that person, and maybe they can lend some better understanding to it. But I'm going to give it to you tonight. And all of these scriptures are given, and that you can go over it with you and your mate. And prayerfully, God will come into the midst of whatever the situation is and be able to help you out. And so 1 Peter chapter 3, and I'm going to go 1 through 7, only 7 verses. But it's a lot there by way of helping us deal with this particular issue of not, you know, being taken, feeling like we're being taken for granted or feeling unappreciated. Now, I'm going to be reading from the Message Bible. There are different translations to the Bible, but they all have the same meaning. And so I just decided to read from this particular translation because it breaks it down in common terms. And so we might have somebody listening tonight that want to hear it in common terms, and so this will allow that to take place. And I'm reading verses 1 through 7. This is 1 Peter chapter 3, and it reads, and this is from the Message Bible, it reads, "The same goes for you wives." He's talking to the wives now. He says, "Be good wives to your husbands and respond to their needs. There are husbands who, indifferent as they are to any words about God, will be captivated by your life of holy beauty." What matters is not your outward appearance, the styling of your hair, the jewelry you wear, the cut of your clothes, but what matters is your inner disposition. Verses 4 through 6 says, cultivate inner beauty, the gentle, gracious kind that God delights in. The holy women of old were beautiful before God in that way, and were good, loyal wives to their husbands. Sarah, for instance, taking care of Abraham, would address him as my dear husband. You'll be true daughters of Sarah if you do the same, unanxious and unintimidating. Verse 7, the same goes for your husbands, for you husbands. Be good husbands to your wives, honor them, delight in them. As women, they lack some of your advantages, but in the new life of God's grace, you're equals. Treat your wives then as equals so your prayers don't run aground. Now, that's a lot in those seven verses that we want to talk about. By way of helping us kind of look toward the scripture to help us with being appreciated or feeling appreciated and not feeling being taken for granted. Let's go back up. Here the writer is addressing husbands and addressing wives. To the wives, the writer says, be good wives to your husbands. And if we just cut that and start with two words, he tells the wives to be good. Be good. Be good. Now, I don't know what represents good in our own personal lives. I don't know what's the measuring bar of being good, but I can say this. One of the first things a woman should do by way of being good is first having the understanding that God is everything. God is all-knowing, all-powerful. God is the creator of the heavens and the earth. God is, and you could put anything else behind it, God is everywhere at the same time. God is so powerful that he can be working on a situation 3 years from now that's going on right here today. Somebody been delivered in 2013 from something they was going through in 2010. So God is not just a present God, but he is a God that transcends time. And to have an understanding of a God at the core of the spirit of a woman will not only make that woman attractive, but it'll also put in that woman already, without somebody saying it to her, a sense of belonging to. And most, not all, I'm not going to even say a lot. I'm going to say there are women who want to be desired or want to belong to somebody. And so if you know you already belong to God, you start at your core on a good foot, if you will. And so the writer says to the wives, he says, be good wives, be good women, be a good woman. And you have to search, women have to search, what does that represent to them? But I can say this, if it don't have God in it, then you start, we make the mistake and might be starting off wrong if we don't have God as at our core. So the first thing, getting God. Not saying we got God, but getting God for real. You know, praying to God, meditating to God, speaking to God, asking God, talking to God, sharing with God. I always say that if we want to get to know each other on a worldly relationship, we go out. We go to dinner. At dinner, we ask each other questions. What do you like? What do you don't like? What? Where have you been in your life? Where have you not been in your life? You know, what makes you happy? What don't make you happy? And all of that goes to building a relationship with people. Well, it's the same way with God. You have to, in order to get a relationship with God, you got to go to God. You got to spend some time with God. You got to talk to God. You got to ask God to search you. Ask God to remove the stuff that He don't like and keep, and give you enough strength to illuminate the stuff that is of Him. And that has to be an intimate conversation, like He's really in front of you, which He really is. But you need to treat Him as He's right there, like He's, you can feel Him, you can grab Him, you can touch Him, and you can talk to Him, and He talk back to you in your spirit. He can confirm some things and give you discernment on some things and some confirmation on some things. And so to be a good woman, I would suggest and recommend starting with God. Because if you can't be, if we don't allow God to work in us and work on us to make us the people He wants us to be, then we might not be good people to other people. We might not be a good person to another person. And so if we submit ourselves, if we humble ourselves, if we can take away I'm in control of this spirit, or I got control of that spirit, and humble ourselves to say, I don't control nothing. God controls everything. Help me, God, make the right decisions. Help me, God, say the right things. Help me, God, do the right things. This is a regular conversation. And so he says, be good wives to your husbands. Respond to their needs. Now, men probably have a list of needs that they would like women to try to respond to. And so it's a hard task to respond to every need. And I think we have to be compassionate enough with one another to know where the limits are, to know I need this person to respond to this need, but I also know that this person going through this right now. Or, taking in consideration what's going on at the time. And so it ain't just, well, dude, I need this done or I need that done. No, we have to realistically look at what's happening and then find a way in due time if it's possible to work it out. But in compassion, you also don't make the mistake of overpowering or being viewed as somebody that's going to overpower the situation, or is this my way or no way, or my way or the highway, or that's not a good environment to be in when we're talking about a relationship. So respond to the needs of your husbands, and that you have to figure out on the priority level how much of that can be done. And husbands got to also figure out, I'm not going to put this pressure. I know she got school. I know she got this. I know she got that. So I'm not going to, dump everything at this time. I can put it out there and then we'll figure it out. We have to operate in compassionate and agape love. Agape love is that selfless love, not selfish love. It's selfless. That means that you're not looking at your needs first, but you're looking outward on how you can be a benefit to somebody else. That's the agape love. That's the love that God gives to us. And so then it says, he talks about there might be husbands. The next part says there are husbands who, indifferent as they are to any words about God, meaning that there might be husbands that you're married to that don't even know the word of God. They might not even know the word of God or care about the word of God. So you might not be able to pull them to the word of God, even though you try. However, after the comment says, they will be captivated by your life of holy beauty, meaning that men watch their women. I can tell you right now, having a wife, I watch my wife, and I watch her and observe her and try to pay attention to her because God said that's my responsibility. So I'm supposed to do that. But now the question becomes, why am I watching her? Why am I observing her? Why am I looking at her? Is it to criticize? Is it to tear down? Is it to speak negative things? Or is it to see how she's doing? Is she doing too much? Is she got too much pressure? Is she taking too much on? Is it too much going down? How can I intervene and be a help? How can I provide a helpful hand in the situation? So what the writer is saying is that, you know, if the wife, by way of her conduct, her holy conduct, shines through, and then the next part talks about the outward appearance, the shining through from a godly base will shine better than the appearance, the hairstyle or the jewelry or the clothes. And, you know, right now, we talked about this Monday, looking at, we're studying Abraham. Right now, the enemy has used hairstyle, jewelry, and clothes among our women to make that appear that that's what gives them sex appeal. That's what makes them have it going on. You could just look at Facebook posts and you will see people. I have yet to see, I maybe one or two. I've seen people put a post up of them reading the Bible. I've never, however, seen a post of a family reading a Bible, a real family, not the clip art and all that. I'm talking about a real live family. They put a post up saying we doing a Bible study with my family. I've not seen that, but what you see in abundance is you see people taking photos with new hairstyles, with new clothes, at a club, with jewelry. You see them with the bling bling. Somebody will just put their wrist up to the phone and take a picture of their wrist with a glittery. Who wants to see that? And so the mind game that the enemy has kind of put over on us has convinced us that the hairstyles and that the jewelry and that the clothes says something about the person. And right here, the writer is saying, let that inner God shine through you. It'll shine brighter than anything you can wear, any hairstyle, any cut of clothes that you can put on. Let your inner disposition so shine. He's talking to women now. And we all know hair is a sensitive issue with women. We all know jewelry is a sensitive issue for women. We all know clothes is a sensitive issue and shoes is a sensitive issue. However, the Bible admonishes women to forget all of that. Have a godly centerpiece. Let your innermost dwelling be what's attractive, be what's appealing, and not give so much into outward appearance, but let the inner do the talking for you. And so in verse 4, it says, cultivate inner beauty, the gentle and gracious kind that God delights in. God loves that to see a woman have a gentle spirit. In fact, a woman that possesses the fruits of the spirit is the most attractive woman you can see walking on earth. It's somebody that's kind and no patience, and because all of that is needed to deal with a man. You need patience, you need kindness, you need joy, you need love, you need all of that, self-control. And so a woman that possesses the spirit, the fruits of the Spirit of God, is a beautiful woman. And so and you will find that those women don't have self-esteem issues. Those women don't have issues of trying to outdo another woman or be better than another woman. She got confidence that God done told her that she's somebody. And she walk around like that, and my God. And so let me keep reading here. That the God delights in the woman of old, he says. He goes back now and reflects all the way back to Sarah, Abraham's wife, and how she was loving her man. And it reminded me of looking at our grandmothers. And when I say grandmothers, I'm talking about grandmothers of the 20s and 30s, who were born of the 20s and 30s. Or 40s, somewhere up in there. Those grandmothers, or even in the 50s, those grandmamas, they have, and right now those grandmamas are keeping churches alive because they grew up in harsh situations. They grew up in situations where they had to depend and rely totally on God. And every time they got something little, they praised God for the little bit in which they had. And so they had a sweet core to them. They took care of family. They sacrificed for family. They sacrificed for their husbands. They did for their husbands. And so they had a gentle spirit, most of them. The only time they got mad is when they was dealing with the grandkids. But when it came to the husband ate first. His clothes got ironed first. He was made sure breakfast was done for him. And some women of today might see that as a spirit of weakness or lack or no. That's biblical. Of if your husband is following after God, you should not have a problem with following your husband. If he is providing a godly example for you and your family, that should be, the God in him should be attracted to the God in you. And if y'all should have a, not only a physical level, but a spiritual level and a family level. And all of that is, it encompasses God. And so he goes back, the writer goes back to Sarah and Abraham and how she supported her man. And then in verse 7 he says, the same goes for you husbands. Now he addresses the husband. And this is important, and I'm finished with this. He says, be good husbands to your wives. And again, you got to figure out what does that good mean. And I suggest to the men also having a centerpiece of God, you know, having a relationship with God will give you a good foundation in your heart. Not speaking it, not just talking it, but let her see it. You know, I think we talk in God. We rap in God and we sing in God, but are we, is our behavior one that somebody could say, look at that, I can see God all up in that man? And that attracts wives. That attracts women, not just wives, but a man of God will attract women. And this is why men of God have to be careful, because the enemy know that women naturally are attracted to men of God. And that it's a natural draw. That's why we have to be prayed up. We have to ask God to keep our mind focused. We have to ask God to keep us meditating on him and our families, because the pull, the draw, is a natural draw. And especially in this world where it's hard to find people who can give you some good information, a good conversation, an enlightening conversation. You just feel good talking to them or being around in their presence and not worried about, you know, talks about marijuana and talks about, you know, going to the club every night or, you know, drinking until you're just sloppy drunk every night. And, you know, the conversation should go further than that. And so he says, be good husbands to your wives. Honor them. He says, delight in them. Now, what is he saying here? Honor them. A woman loves attention. A woman really loves attention from her father and from her husband, if there wasn't any abuse or nothing going on. She loves attention from her father, and she loves attention from her husband. And all of that is a extension of the love that she seeks from God. And so a woman that loves attention from her father, loves attention from her husband, we should honor them. We should give them that attention. We should rub their feet every now and then. We should give them compliments. We should give them flowers every now and then. We should say gentle things to them. We should honor them. We should congratulate them for little small things. It ain't got to be they done built the sales tower three times. No, we honor you that you built a sandcastle. And I'm just giving an example there. It don't have to be the major stuff. Do the little stuff. And then it says, as women lack some of our advantages, they're not strong as men. Women were not made to be men. I'm going to say that again. Women are not made to be men. I'm going to say that again. Women were not made to be men. I'm going to say it one last time. Women were not made to be men. Now, how do I know that? And I know that because if women were made to be men, you would have babies born on a guess. I don't know what it's going to be. You know, it could be half and half. The top half would be a woman and the bottom half would be a man. Or the top half would be a man and the bottom half would be a woman. But we don't have that. If we have boys being born and we have girls being born. For whatever reason, God decided that person was going to be a boy, he birthed him, he made him a boy. Whatever reason that he decided for this baby to be a girl, he made it a girl. And so he made women to be women and not for women to be men. And in that he made a woman to be a woman, she doesn't have the same advantages. Now, I'm not talking about somebody that go out and do bodybuilding. I'm not talking about somebody who go out and get a doctor's degree. I'm not talking about somebody that's a CEO. That's not what we're talking about right here. What he's talking about is in the relationship to your husband, you're not two men in the household. You have a woman, which is a wife, and a man, which is a husband. A husband in those times had certain responsibilities as a man. A woman at that time had certain responsibilities as a woman. And so, but he says, based on the grace of God, we're equal when we get to heaven. And so we should treat our wives as equal now. And he is saying to the men, if you don't treat your wife right, your prayers do not get to God. And here he said run aground, but in essence what he is saying is that you hinder your prayers by not treating your woman right. Because the woman was a gift to man. Back in the Garden of Eden, when God created everything, and then he created Adam. Before Adam got here, he told the animals to be fruitful and multiply. So when Adam got here, he's seeing all of this fruit going down and multiplying, and he figuring out where is his fruitful and multiplying. And so God said, it's not good for man to live alone. So let's create for him a helpmeet. And so he took from Adam a rib and made a woman. And when Adam woke up and seen this woman, he said, this is flesh of my flesh, and this is bones of my bones. And he said that, he was excited when he said that. Because now God told him, y'all be fruitful and multiply. So now it was his time to be fruitful and multiply. And so it was a gift to Adam. He didn't deserve it. It was God just gave it to him to make sure that the you know, we was decent and in order, if you will. And so we should honor her as a gift from God. I don't know if anybody ever gave you an expensive gift. You won't even let nobody touch it. You would only bring it out on special occasions. You won't let nobody, if it's a $10,000 watch, you ain't letting nobody wear it. You got it in a special case, you shining it. Aren't human beings more than jewelry, more than money, more than cars, more than homes? We should be. But the enemy has tricked us to make materialistic stuff more important than our relationship one with another. So I'm through. Just look at that verse, 1 Peter. Chapter 3, 1 through 7, with you and your mate. And if you have an understanding, I think I tried to break it down, but if you have difficulty, contact your spiritual leader. And if they're not available, you can contact me on Facebook at Mo Sales and inbox me, and we can communicate that way and help you understand the interpretation of the scriptures, as well as giving some insight to what we experience in our relationship and how that particular passage should be able to help us get a better understanding of how we should treat one another. And if we have an understanding of how we should treat one another and what God says or what the Bible says we should do, we won't have to worry about never saying thank you or never saying please. We won't have to worry about expecting somebody else to pick up behind us. We wouldn't have to worry about, you know, no matter what we do, it's never enough. We won't have to worry about, feeling like, you know, I don't care about your birthday or your anniversary or any special occasion, because you'll be coming from a spirit of honoring. You'll be coming from a spirit of love, that agape love. And so that will eliminate this feeling of feeling that you're being, and then it allows you to open up a conversation and say, hey, I didn't like that right there. And so let's talk about that, you know, because I don't want this to grow into something bigger. That's another thing. You got to identify the seeds before they grow and kind of dig them up and throw them out and plant a better seed in its place. You know, if a seed of hate is planted in your home and it is not dug out and thrown away, then it's going to grow into a forest, and you won't even want to go home from work because hate meets you at the door and the house could be empty. So I leave you with that. We're going to go to a commercial. We come back with our round table. The lines are full right now. And we're going to go into the conversation about being taken for granted, feeling unappreciated. You know, is it more of the men that don't appreciate their women, or is it more of the women that don't, you know, appreciate their men, or is it a problem for both? And so that's the question to the panel. And when we come back, we're gonna get into that conversation.
North American Association of Basketball is calling all sophomores, juniors, seniors, and high school basketball players to attend this Saturday, April 6th, the 5th annual Chicago Basketball Showcase at College Expo. That's right, this Saturday from 12 noon to 5 p.m. Again, that's 12 noon to 5 p.m. at the Roe Clark Mountain Science. That's located 3645 West Chicago Avenue in Chicago, Illinois. Again, at the Roe Clark Mountain Science, located 3645 Chicago Avenue in Chicago, Illinois. If you are a player who plays for a team or not, got the talent, was looking for and need exposure, then this is for you. Must enroll in a high school, must have his or her school jersey or t-shirt. The event is totally free. Some come early to register. Over 100 players are expected to be there. Illinois coaches from various colleges and universities will be present. For more information, contact Greg Williams at 312-912-1336. Again, the phone number is 312-912-1336. Come on, y'all, let's have some fun.
Y'all
not about us. It's about Jesus. All right, we are back to the Relationship Hour. I hope you enjoyed the commentary. Remember, after the commentary, please write those verses and scriptures down. That way you can look it up with you and your mate. But tonight we're talking about being taken for granted or unappreciated. The feeling of being taken for granted can be a psychological and emotional roller coaster. In a relationship, when a person feels like the other person is taking them for granted, it might cause resentment or even frustration. And so some of the warning signs are never saying please, expecting the person to pick up after you, whatever somebody do is never enough, being ignored, being neglected, not remembering or recognizing birthdays. And so we're going to go to the panel, and I'm going to bring the panel in so we can have a lively discussion. If you are listening right now, you want to join, all you have to do is press the number 1 on your phone, or if you're listening online and you want to call in, the number is 347-838-9106, and I can put you in, and you can join the conversation if you have a comment. But we're looking to help somebody. You never know who's going through the exact same thing that you might talk about on tonight. And so I got Sister Trina and I got Brother Gerard on. Brother Dennis will be joining us. Brother LB will be joining us. And we're going to get this conversation going tonight. But I'm going to start with Sister Trina and Brother Gerard. Sister Trina, this topic tonight touches a lot of people.
Yes,
it crosses racial lines. It crosses, barriers, because who don't want to feel appreciated? If you own your job and you work hard and you do a good job, you want the people at your job to appreciate you. If you work in your neighborhood or in your community and you doing a great job, and you might not be doing it for recognition, however, just to know that it's appreciated makes a difference. And so in relationships it's the same thing. I know everybody want to be or feel appreciated in the relationship. So give me your feedback on the topic today.
Well, Pastor Mo, to be honest, nobody is exempt from being unappreciated. This is something that happens to everybody. It happens to every man, to every woman. It happens to everybody. And this is just something that's a part of life. You're never going to be, it's to a certain extent. You just everybody just doesn't satisfy you. You're not going to be satisfied by everybody. It is what it is. And, it's just something that happens to everybody. So it's not a shock when someone says that they're feeling unappreciated or this person don't appreciate them or they're going through this and they're going through that. It's not a shock because, it's a lot of selfishness out here in this world. And being that it's so much going on right now, everybody has picked up the attitude. It's all about me. I don't care how you feel about it. It's about me. I'm just in it to win it, to get mine, and I'm out. It's just so many people have been hurt, Pastor Bo, that they picked up the attitude of, it's about me. I'm getting in it. I'm getting what I want, and I'm done. And so really, that's why people have to be really careful into getting into relationships, because what is the person's motive behind it? Are they really in it to have a serious relationship, or are they really in it to just get what they can and then move on to the next? So, it's just something that everybody deals with.
Now, you said an interesting thing here. Selfishness based on a previous relationship, because there may have been some hurt that went down in the previous relationship. So now when I come into this new relationship, I'm going to be selfish because in the previous relationship, I gave. You know, I was always putting that person first. I was always looking out for that person. I was always, but that person turned around and hurt me. They took my kindness. Oh, my God. They took my kindness for, so let me ask you this, and then I'm going to go to Gerard. Brother Gerard, let me ask you this. Does this kind of touch on people really don't want somebody good? You know how people say, I want a good man or I want a good woman. But right. When you get that good man and you get that good woman, somehow or some way that good man and that good woman is not enough, or they may bore you, or they don't like, you know, if you like going out, they don't like going out because you got a good woman now, you know, or you got a good man, you know, and they might not like the stuff, the nightlight stuff or the drinking stuff. Well, I want to drink every now and then. He don't never like drinking. So we want good people, or do we really want good people? Because when we get them good people, do we treat them good people negatively or badly because we take their kindness to weakness? And then when them good people leave out of that relationship, they go to another relationship saying, man, it's all about me. So go ahead, yeah. Sister Trudy.
That's why, in my opinion, that's why it's best that people take their time when they meet someone. Don't be so quick to jump into bed. Don't be so quick to be in a rush to do everything. It's best to take your time with things. Then that way they will find out if that's the person they want to be with. That would give them enough time to say, okay, I done dated this person for a year or two. That's not what I want. And so that gives them the time to just say, okay, you know, this is just not what I want, instead of going in it just to get whatever they want to get out of it. That's why it's best, Pastor Mo, for a person to just take time to see what that person is really about. Don't be so anxious to always, like, you know, be so quick to jump in the sack or be so quick to go in somebody's pockets or be so quick to get on, you know, some people just need emotional help or something like that. I think it's best for a person to take their time. And then they will find out. Yeah, time is the best thing in the world. It may seem like a long time to take your time, but no, time is the best thing in the world, because if you take your time, then you're able to see what you need to see.
Okay. Well, Brother Gerard, you want to jump in? Sister Trina says people should not be anxious to readily get into a relationship with somebody, which they might get the wrong person, and that person wind up, you know, being selfish and don't appreciate them, and it's all about themselves. You know, we talked about that. We talked about the real person coming out. You know, you putting on a commercial to get the person, and then once you got the person, then the real person come out. And a lot of stuff that you did not know about that person, now you start to know them. So is it time, or what's your take on it?
Amen, Pastor Mo. And Sister Trina, she's dead on. Sister Trina over there making soup. those two ingredients, patience and selfish, is a disaster to any relationship. I don't care if it's a relationship with your mama, or you have those two recipes added into your soup. You cannot be friends with anybody. You can't be a good family member. You can't even be a good coworker. And unfortunately, those two diseases is affecting our community, our relationships, and who we are because of the survival of the fittest type situations that's happening right now today. The young adults are all about, I'm going to get mine, you better get yours. And for them to protect themselves, don't nobody want to share anything. They want to share responsibilities. They don't want to share ownership. You know, if you look at majority of the households today that's in a relationship, the 85%, if not all, of the things are in a woman's name. Why? It's not because of a guy don't have the ability to put anything in their name. They doing one or two things. The woman want to make sure she is in control. So if she wanted to, she could put him out. And two, the guy is lazy enough and is a user. So she sit back and act as if he can't do anything to try to use up her way of means, her housing, her green card, her good credit until she's drained, and then when there's nothing left, then he go to the next one. And that's sad that it's like that. Not all, but majority of the young adults are doing that. But when it goes back to relationships, the selfishness blinds you for not being able to take your time with a woman to get to know her intimately, sexually, emotionally. And believe it or not, that's what the woman likes. It's the foreplay. And it's the act itself is nice if it's there. But if you're mediocre and your foreplay off the chain, she'll deal with you for a little while because you're in touch with your husband, the sensitive side, the selfishness. Add that to the woman side. If a woman comes in and she's very, very selfish, and every time they get in an argument, first thing come out of their mouth, you can get out of my car, and you can get out of my house. You know, why are you in the relationship in the first place if the first thing come out of your mouth is ownership? So if it's a shared thing, if God was like that from the beginning, God could have, you know, brought Jesus here, and when he talked to Jesus in this prayer, he said, "Hey, man, son, I know you don't want to hear this, but you're going to have to sacrifice your life." Jesus could be like, "Oh, no, man, forget them. Let them die. Just take the earth." He didn't have to agree, you know what I'm saying? But he said, "You know, I love y'all. You know, I want to die for y'all's sins." And he knew he was sinners by nature, and he did what he did to give us another opportunity. And if he was, you know, a situation where if Jesus was in a situation where he didn't think about us like that, I mean, just imagine what we'll be right now. You know what I'm saying? So I'm it's a whole slew of things. Those two recipes are disastrous, you know, and they definitely in the devil's camp. And if you want disaster, if you want anything to be built on nothing, then take heed in those two things, and you guarantee to catch hell wherever you at.
And one thing that I'm hearing is when we talk about, you know, being or feeling being taken for granted or unappreciated, I'm hearing before you even get with somebody, make sure that that person is not one of these people that might be selfish and, you know, maybe coming from a previous relationship and might have baggage already, and then when they get in and now they done moved into the crib, they done took over the TV, and so now, you know, they don't care what your regiment was before they got there. Now that they there, they want to, you know, watch TV all day, or, you know, you do nice things and it's like expected. They call you and say, "Well, did you do this? Did you pick up my clothes? Did you da 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 da?" And before you even get that person in the house, I'm hearing that there should be kind of a waiting out process before jumping directly into a relationship, because you never know what you're going to get. It's basically what I'm hearing. And that's interesting because, it's you know, the chicken and the egg situation. Go ahead.
I want to be honest with you. I don't want any woman or man of God to waste their time in trying to prevent these things. That's not our job. We got to understand what is our job and what's God's job. You know what I'm saying? Because if we go into that like that, you're going to run yourself senile. There's no way you're going to be able to detect these, because these guys are very slick. Or these women are very clever. You know what I'm saying? You just pray about it. And, you know, and God, and that word will teach you how to see these warning signs. And you'll be in a position where you can pull out. You know what I'm saying? You want to get, like your sister Trina said, if you have patience, you won't be fully invested anyway where you got a child or a home together anyway. You'll be just dating this person, you know. If you're not jumping in right away and got intimate and got your feelings involved, you know, and that you have opportunity to say, I see that, okay, you done got paid, you know, several times, and you're not one time offered to, you know, help with anything financial and are going out or gas or anything. You know, you always looking to me. Every time it's time to pay, you go to the washroom. You'll be able to pick up certain things. You know what I'm saying? You'll pick up certain intimacy. Every time he talk about, you know, her body or her legs or her boobies or whatever. If, you know, then you know that what you got on your hands, and then you can make that decision. God says, you know, stand still. You know, saying and call on His name. And when you know you ask Him what you want, say, God, I'm lonely, and I want to have somebody to share my life with. And when I meet somebody, you know, please reveal if he's like you or close to being like you. You know, reveal to me so that I won't have any heartaches. But then you live your life, you know, comfortably. You know, you go out, you meet people, and if it's lined up and if it's in his will, then he'll be around. Maybe God want to show you something. He want to show you what you don't want. You know, sometimes people look at failure as losing. Sometimes failure is winning because you find out what you don't want. And if you look at it that way, you know, you win it.
And you bring up a good point, because really to do a test on everybody, like you said, can run you crazy. The test to try to find the perfect man or the perfect woman, when really the perfect man and the perfect woman don't exist.
Amen.
You know, part of what I said earlier about having that relationship with God and having God at the core of the person first, which will definitely help bring God into the relationship between both people, I think is important, because if both people got a core of God, you know, there's certain things you are and certain things you are not gonna do, or if you are ignorant to the fact that you're doing it, and ignorance is not a behavior. Ignorance is just not knowing. If you're not knowing that you're doing this because of the way you were brought up, and maybe you were brought up in a household where none of this stuff was on display, or you know, or it was all one sided. It was okay, do this for me, do that for me, and there was never a sign of affection. There was never a sign of equality. There was never a sign of respect and honor. And you now get into a relationship with a person that came from a household with that, you know, example of respect and honor and love and you know, appreciation and all that. Now the onus is on, if you got God at the core, the woman should be able to come to you and say, listen, I came from this type of household, this type of background. These are some of the things that, you know, I have witnessed and that feel good to me. That I would, you know, because everybody kind of have a vision of what they would want their relationship to be. And so you say, I kind of envision our relationship like this, that, or the other. And then the man, if he is honest, if he got a godly core, he could say, you know what, you know, I didn't come up like that. You know, and I didn't have that understanding. However, if you work with me, I'll try to work on myself and be more of the better part of me, and try to be more understanding and more, you know, willing to go the extra mile, more willing to give a compliment, more willing not to look at what you're doing for me as you have to do it, but look at it as, I thank God that you're doing it, and I honor you because God gave you to me. And so Those are very, very good points, and I think we run into problems nowadays about being patient. We don't live in that world no more. With the internet, with the Facebook, with the all that's going on, we live in a fast-paced society, and on our psyche, in our mind, on our brains. We might not know it, but we think that way. I got to have it now. I got to, even when it comes to eating, I got to eat right now. We have become, we've become an instant world. Everything has to be instant. Everything has to be right now. I don't want to work for it. I don't want to wait on it. If I got to wait on it, I'm going to just move on because there's somebody out there that'll give it to me right now that ain't got to wait on it. And so, how do we combat? And the Bible talks about this too. When we come back on the other side of the commercial, I got Brother Dennis on now. When we come back on the other side of the commercial, I want to know how do we, in that we're living in a society that is a right now society, and it's becoming more and more compassionless, more and more selfish society. It's all about me. It's about, how can I get this? How can I do that? How can I come up? And all this stuff. How can in our relationship we bring it to a level that is more, it's about sharing. It's about a tandem. It's about a team. And, and it's not about I. It's not about, it's all about I. It's all about I or me, it's about the team, it's about us, it's about the family, it's about what we got going on. How can we transition from the I to the we is what we want to talk about on the back end of the commercial. And we're going to bring Brother Dennis in. I'm going to get Sister Trina to start us off, then Brother Dennis, then Brother Gerard, right after this commercial.
On Time Home Repairs, where we are rehabilitating America's one home at a time, specializing in remodeling, full kitchens, and bathrooms. Also, a 24-hour emergency handyman service for electrical and plumbing issues. No job is too small. We do it all. All it takes is one call. It's 773-698-5720. Ask for LB.
To the Dennis Live Network featuring our superstar roster. Every Wednesday at 7:30 p.m., you got the conversation with Case, waking our urban people up. Followed by every Thursdays at 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time with the Relationship Hour with Pastor Mo discussing real life matters and ministry and relationships. Then you have Hip Hop Fridays interviewing and playing the hottest pure talent from all over the world at 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. And every Saturday at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, you are tuned in with the Dennis Live Show. That is a general-based topic show interacting with the people. www.westcityworld1.com.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Relationship Hour with Pastor Mo and Brother Dennis. And I got Brother Dennis on right now. You with me?
I'm here, man. I'm here.
And so we got Brother Dennis on, and I want to start with you. Usually, we have a quick commentary at the top of the show, but I want to start with you. What's your feedback on being taken for granted?
Well, man, first you just got to be running from the police. So let's get that out the way, praise God. Sit down and catch my breath. I'm just playing, y'all. I just wanted to bring in here. Hey, man, you know what, man? I was listening in to everybody, man. With everybody, can you guys hear me good?
Yeah.
Okay, uh-huh. I was just listening in to what everybody was saying, man. Brother Gerard made a valid point. Sister Trina made a valid point. The thing is, you're gonna notice that all back when you get into that relationship, or even just spending that time with that person. I don't care if you was a spoiled, selfish, self-centered person. It's gonna show because it's not considered hereditary no more. it's going to be in your blood. Either you're going to be raised like that or you're used to that one way or another, and then you're going to be showing those features. Because I'm not going to call them characters, those features. You know how they say a single child. You know, they spoiled, they selfish, they self-centered. And what's the first thing they say? Man, I'm the only child, so I'm used to getting my way. No matter how you look at it, whether it's a male or a female, the ones that look real good. We used to call them back in the day spiders. They're the ones that, you know, when they crawl on it, you know, they come into a facility, they just looking good. They make you say, ouch, look at that, you know. And they automatically need that high maintenance attention. So they're going to show you and they're going to tell you up front, hey, man, I'm, you know, you ain't dealing with no $5 chick. Well, you ain't dealing with no $5 dude. This is how I like it. This is how I want it. And if you are a sane person or a person that don't wear their love on their sleeves, that'll fall in love real fast, you're gonna see that. You're going to overlook the character that person is showing you, not the features that they're giving you, the character, because they're playing this role. Everybody do. That's why it's always, that's why God, you said, is always in your heart. So you always subject to change no matter how you look at it. So that's what I look at when you both, when all of y'all signify that. You're going to notice that right off top. And I was that young pookie on both sides of the fence. I was that person. I was the only child for a long time. And let you know, hey, I got smacked in the face. I was that brother that just, I needed that center of attention. Said, hey, I think I got smacked in the face. I turned around and said, okay. I was that brother that was that person that was doing, I was the doer. Everything that we did, I was doing. I didn't care because that person had me, no matter how we looked at it. So, but you got the three traits out of the whole deal, knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. And that way, when you quote knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, you automatically going to be rooting and grounding in God's word. Because now he's teaching you right then and there, hey, man, this person's not of God. This is not a child of God. Maybe it is. I don't know. But like Brother Gerard has stated, he said, it is not up to us to find out what it is that God is already going to ordain in our relationship with that person. So that's how I look at that whole situation, man. But yeah, man, y'all knocked that ball right out the park, man. I don't even know why you even called me and put me on the phone.
and Sister Trina, when it comes to how we can encourage somebody, taking for example, like Brother Dennis say, this person is a self-centered person, or this person was an only child, or this person has a reason, if you will, for why they, you know, might be acting the way they act, in which you feel like they take you for granted. What approach do we come with, or could we come with, to bring that type of person into the knowledge and the understanding that, wait a minute, we got to change something right here because I don't think we're heading in the right direction?
Well, Pastor Mo, as we all know, nobody changes overnight. So that's why it takes time to spend that time with that person so that you guys can talk about what you need to talk about, decide what you need to decide, and discuss what you need to discuss, because nobody changes overnight. And just because you spend the time with that person that one day or maybe a month, it still does not mean they're going to change right away. And so you have to, if you will, like pick at them. You know, like you're picking at a stone until it completely breaks. You just pick until it completely breaks. You have to dig, and you have to find out what is really going on in that person's life. And it's not easy to share things with people that you really don't know nothing about. So, you know, to spend time with the person, you really have to take your time with them and just dig and just ask questions and try to help them, get over the selfishness or the mistrust, because that's nine times what it is, this, you know, mistrust. It's hard to trust a person when you've been hurt. And that's why I also said you need to take time to, people really need to take time to spend time with themselves to get over the things that they went through in past relationships, because they bring the past into the new relationship, which destroys the new relationship. So it all boils down to time, Pastor Mo. You have to, it takes time to do everything. It takes time to get a degree. It takes time to have a child. It takes time to, as a preacher, to do a ministry. I'm pretty sure you wasn't a preacher overnight. It took time to, for God to get you to that point. Time, you know, just like the book of Ecclesiastes says, it's a time for everything. No matter what a person tries to do, they have to take time in it, no matter what it is.
Okay, so you're saying using the time wisely,
yes,
to try to better a situation and not automatically. And see, maybe, and this is for you, Gerard, maybe the silence. So, for example, if you come home every day and you see this person ain't clean up the house, but this person is looking for you to clean up the house. You done came from work. The house ain't clean, and you looking for this person to have done something by way of cleaning the house, do you remain silent and hold in that frustration for the sake of keeping peace in the house, but at the same time you don't have peace within you because you feeling like that person taking you for granted because they could have cleaned the house up, but they wait for you to come all the way home from work to clean up. Gerard, what, give me some feedback on that.
Well, absolutely not. I don't think that if you have a problem, you should voice your opinion. The biggest mistake is not saying anything at all.
Right.
I'm guilty of that several times, and certain things that I don't like, and out of respect of the other one, to keep the peace, you try not to say anything. And what that does is sweep it under the rug. For you know it, that rug can be growing plants and weeds and grass and everything. So you got so much
right.
dirt under that rug, you know. But, you know, it's situations that I mistaken in not said anything in the beginning that my significant other's tone, how she talk. And if you don't check that early, then it's going to become a problem. She think it's okay to call you out your name or get loud in public. And if you don't let her know that bothers you, you know, she continue to do it. And then you wait till it's too late and you say something. She going to laugh at you. She's like, man, I've been 5 years cussing you out, you know. How are you going to be like, shut up now, you know? So, and then either way, if a guy going upside a woman's head and she get, you know, she walk around looking like a raccoon, and the next thing you know, she like, well, he just mad. And, you know, and every time he get mad, he get to go upside her head, you know? If she don't start that in the beginning and say, look, you can't put your hands on me. That's unacceptable, period. Or call the police or go get a buck something. You got to know I don't play that. Yeah, he'll stop. You know, I think certain things is levels of being a coward, you know, and sorry to say this is kind of what that is, because you got to be able to stand up for something. Anything without order or structure is doomed to fail. Even God loves stuff neat and in order, you know. So if you don't have some type of order, some type of protocol, then it's, you're going to have trouble, man. And I learned that the hard way, you know, and I'm paying for it today.
And you brought up some good points, Brother Gerard, in that there could be not only a family history of why somebody don't appreciate their mate, you know, because they didn't see a good example, but you also brought up a point of why not voicing your opinion or voicing your concern or frustration can be a plant that grows into a tree that's harder to chop down just because you didn't say nothing at the beginning when you first saw the signs. And some of the signs that we talked about was not saying please, not saying thank you. You know, sometimes if I receive something from my wife and if my mind is somewhere else and I forget to say thank you, she won't let me leave without saying thank you. And so I have become accustomed to, even if she cook, even though that's a part of our normal activity in the house, I've even taught my daughter to make sure we thank Mommy for cooking tonight because she didn't have to do it. And so just kind of being mindful to make sure that no seeds are planted in the house of feeling unappreciated or feeling being taken for granted can exist, just being proactive and saying something, talking up, speaking up. And so you brought up a good point. A lot of people might be feeling like, okay, well, let's just go along to get along. But at the same time, it's building up seeds of frustration. And when it come out, go ahead, Sister.
Isn't that, you know, the same as taking time? Because when you take time with a person, then you're able to discuss things like that. You're able to say to a person, you know, when you're upset, it's best to, when a person is upset, it's best not to, you know, say what you feel at that moment, because you have to calm down. Because if you say what you feel at that moment, then 9 times out of 10, somebody is going to get hurt, and words can really kill a person. Words really can. So if you're taking time with that person, you know, you can say to that person, well, I feel that, you know, I feel that you don't appreciate me, and I was upset when I got home from work and the house was nasty. Every home does not have that attitude of, well, you ain't, you know, all that hollering and screaming and all that twisting of the neck and all that people, you know, busting people in the face. Every home don't have that. I think, Pastor Mo, that's why God teaches us about patience. Because when you have patience, you learn how to react to certain situations. So if you're taking time with that person, you're learning. You both of you guys are learning how to act in certain situations. Because in godly marriages, that's what God do. God does. He teaches the couple how to be patient with each other and how to speak to each other. So in most godly marriages, with God teaching us how to act, you know, we're not saying, well, such and such, we're not telling them off like we would in a worldly manner. We're being calm and we're saying it in a way that it's not as aggressive. You know, like if a woman would tell her husband, I'm upset because I cleaned the house and you came in and just set your muddy boots right there in the middle of the floor after I just mopped it. And in his mind, he's not even looking at it like that. He just got off work. He's tired. All he wanted to do is get in the shower, get in the bed, and go to sleep. So when he get home, he just drop his boots down and go get in the shower and, you know, eat and then go to bed. He's not looking at it like, okay, I'm going to go in here, and I know she done cleaned up the house, so I'm just going to throw my boots on the floor. He's not looking. That's why he has to communicate and take time to spend time with that person to know your likes and dislikes. And I think that's what makes it work.
No, you hit that right on, Sister Trina. It's about respect, mm-hmm. a mutual respect about when it comes to, you know, the household and how, you know, you're going to react to certain mm-hmm. situations. And you brought, that's a good scenario about a man coming in from work and putting his shoes down. But even going back to the commentary tonight, one thing that, and then we're going to go to another commercial, one thing I wanted to kind of bring out in that commentary was the writer addressed the women and he addressed the men, but he didn't address the women to address the men, or he didn't address the men to address the women. he addressed the women and the men to address themselves, meaning that he asked the women to look at themselves and say, within me, let me create inside of me a godly spirit on the end, which ain't got the you know, the man ain't got nothing to do with this. This is me working on me right now and allowing God to work on me. Let me allow God to work on me so if I can have an understanding, a different understanding than my own. And so if I know I want this relationship to work, if I know God is in the midst of this relationship, and I know I got God working in me, then I can handle issues of the day that we're going to deal with in this relationship from a godly standpoint. If I can freely communicate with God, I should be able to freely communicate with a man of God. If I can freely reveal to God, I should be able to freely be able to reveal to a man of God. That's my husband, and vice versa. For a man, if he told the men to honor his wife, and so in honoring his wife, he is letting her know that she is special. He is letting her know that in his eyes, you know, he's going to celebrate her for things that she do, and that does something to a woman. And if that type of atmosphere exists, that type of chemistry exists in the air, then it makes a harmonious environment, a loving environment, a supportive. I don't know if you ever heard somebody say, do you have a supportive environment? That creates a supportive environment that God is in the midst. And I think a lot of times we get into relationships and we get married and leave God out of the relationship. And when God is left out of the relationship from both parties, not one being the super God person and the other one not believer, when it's you lacking something, we lack something when God is not a part of our relationship. And so we tend to lean to our own understanding, and our own understanding don't get us too far. And then we run into problems and don't know how to get out of it. And so when we come back off of this commercial, I want to ask Brother Dennis, how much is enough? Or how much can a person take of not feeling? What is the breaking point that you get to when you don't feel appreciated? You know, what is that level? You know, is it after a year of not being appreciated? Is it after 6 months? You know, what? And then we'll go around the round table. You know, how much is enough? You know, how long should I wait? How long should I be patient? And so that's the question we want to throw out there as it relates to somebody feeling being taken for granted or unappreciated. Okay, we having technical difficulties, so let's roll with the question right now. Brother Dennis, go ahead and you want to elaborate for us?
I'm about to run it right now. It's taking a little second, but let's see here. Let's see what I can do for you, Pastor. I don't know why. See, every time I get online, man, it's always me, right?
well, until it works its way out. Answer that question. How much is enough? When should the white flag be waved when it comes to dealing with a person that, or if a person is feeling unappreciated or feeling like they're being taken for granted? What's the breaking point?
How long that person can absorb. You know, me, I could say, my deadline is 3 months with that person. And look here, that person probably did something that made me say, you know what, I could go 6 months. So I think that's what it is. You know, if that deadline is, you know, as far as what that person can absorb, I think that's what it is. Because I can't really say, okay, well, when I date a person, you know, so I'm not going to go through what I went through before, I'm not going to bring it into this next relationship. So anytime I see any signs of that, I'm going to give them a month, and then, or I'm going to give them 2 days, or I'm going to give them 3 days. No. Because you might see it. You know, like Sister Trina said, you might see something in that person. They say, you know what, okay, even though I said I wasn't going to do this, but, you know what, I got the patience to kind of deal with this. Because it's not that bad, because I dealt with this before. But there was something else that she said.
North American Association of Basketball.
The Western Worldwide Network has never been easier to connect with Blog Talk Radio, Facebook, Twitter, and WesternWorldOne.com. Until now, by using our mobile app, just log on to www.WesternWorldOne.com and click yes to the mobile app. That's it. That's all. One button does it all. WesternWorldOne.com.
Okay, and like I was saying,
right.
Everybody know how to use that mobile app now, right? Log on to WesternWorldOne.com. Get that mobile app, man, for real. It'll bless you. I don't got enough patience for y'all not to get on that mobile app. But anyway, like I was saying, man, that was beautiful. You know, you might see that, and then one thing that you guys had secretly in on was respect and communication. Respect what I have to say to you, and I have to communicate it to that person. So that way, you automatically know how much time that you would allow that person, because when you lay down your words, your laws, your Bible to that person, they're going to either respond in a good demeanor, or they're going to respond to you like, whatever, this is how I am. You live with it or you don't live with it. Then you already know right then and there, can I live with this or can't I live with this? You know, I got great experience with dealing with this type of situation, and on both ends of the fence, I was that person. Like I said, I was that pookie, and I was the one that was a person that was doing it without even thinking. You know, I just felt like I had to be a certain way. I wanted to be a certain way. If nobody can live with my statures, then okay, well, move along. But that was my criteria, and I'm not even thinking about hurting that other person, because I got so many other people to choose from, or so many other people that I know that will put up with my mess all at one time. So, you know, imagine telling that to somebody that really cares about you, and you just care about what you're getting done or what's getting done to you, to that person. But I will say, Paul didn't become Paul for no reason. You know what I'm saying? Saul didn't become Paul for no reason. So you're going to get knocked off that hot horse, you know, and I don't know how long it took. So Jesus came and told him, hey, man, get up. This is what you need to do. So, you know, so it works. Like I said, man, every last one of you guys, man, that had hit it dead on, man, respect. You got the knowledge on it because it has happened to a person. You got the wisdom because you know how to address it to a person. And you understand because you got the patience to say, I was in that situation before. So I'm going to give that knowledge, wisdom, understanding to that person, and it's going to allot you to know. Or, you know, like God will do, they're going to tell you to get up and leave. When you know when there's enough is enough. So that's why I say, man, y'all hit it all dead on, man. Everybody hit that dead on.
Now let me ask Gerard this. And when it comes to feeling not being, or when it comes to being the feeling, the person who is feeling like they're being taken for granted, if we were to look up the statistics, what do you think the statistics will fall? Will it fall that more men take women for granted or more women take men for granted? You probably got your phone on mute, Brother Gerard.
Yeah. Okay. You know, my bad. I'm sorry. I'm talking and I'm like, okay, why not?
Right.
repeat the question for me real quick.
I was saying if we could look up the statistics on which take for granted the more, is it, do you think the statistic would favor that more men take women for granted or more women take men for granted?
It's definitely men. It's definitely men take women for granted more than the women. But I can't say that today. I can just say in the last, you know, 5-6 years, you know, it could have been men, but, you know, women, they very clever, you know. I think if you pay attention to more detail of it, and to micromanage that situation, you probably like, wow, I didn't know that, even though, you know, she been saying the bills was $1,500 and it really was $1,000. You wouldn't know until you really micromanaged the situation. So you don't know, man. The thing is, like I said, you just got to pray about it. And when you're protected by the Spirit of God, He won't reveal anything to you. There's no way. When you got favor, it's going to come out, you know. It'll run you crazy trying to find out who's taking advantage of who, you know, saying God will just give you favor. And if they, you know, if somebody's doing you like that, God's going to protect you. He's going to say, okay, this is my son, this is my daughter. You can't do it like that. I'm going to reveal it to you. I'm going to make you leave the computer on. I'm going to make you, you know, I'm going to make this, hey, open the mail, you know, or I'm going to bring her home early. You know, he's going to protect you, you know, so you just got to believe that, you know, and then that way, when that just falls in your lap, and it ain't no coincidence, God said, you know what, he loves you, he's going to take care of you. You know, and it's up to you to be a woman or a man to handle it. Now, if you let him back in the house, after he go outside your head, or after it's revealed to you, you keep letting it happen, then that's a lunatic. So that's on you.
Okay. Okay. Sister Trina, what do you think? I know you're saying it's everybody, but if the statistics came out, do you think it's more men take women for granted, or has that changed and women have now become more of the aggressors by way of, you know, not appreciating their man, but kind of taking what they do. You know, if they fix up something around the house, or if they bring the groceries in, or if they take the garbage out, you know, even though it's something that, you know, is viewed as something a man is supposed to do, but can that, what a man is supposed to do, be even taken for granted?
Well, it can, but the statistics have shown so many years, women saying that they feel like they've been taken for granted. They feel like they've been cheated on, you know, the whole 9 yards. Women have been complaining for years about their husbands, men, boyfriends, you name it. They've just been complaining for years about things that they have went through. And it's strange how the world is so one-sided. You know, a guy can go out and sleep with however many women he want to and play the field and be the player and everything. But if the woman say, okay, who can play that game, I'm going to do exactly what you do. So if she go out there and be the player and, you know, and have several boyfriends or, you know, several men that she's dating, then she's considered a tramp or a whore or something like that. So it's like shaded and one-sided, but mostly women have been complaining for years, Pastor Mo, that they've been taken advantage of. Mm. And you know, a person, and I remember your question a while ago, you said how long can a person handle being taken advantage of? And it's all about how long a person's heart can take it. How long a person's heart can take it. Just like Brother Dennis said, you can see something in that person that you like and love, and that causes you to stay longer in that situation. But it's all about, okay, once you get to that point, how much can your heart take? Once your heart has taken too much, then I think that's when the man and the woman say, okay, you know what, I've been stepped on too long, it's time to move on and get out of this because it's not going to get any better. And so, you know, it is what it is, Pastor Mo. You know.
That's a good point. How much can your heart take? And, you know, some people can go through the car wash with their heart multiple times waiting for a situation to get better. But every day or every other day, the situation don't get better. And so they continuously submit themselves to, that's a form or can be a form of stress. You know, frustration leads to stress.
Right.
You know, frustrated that if a woman comes home and the dishes in the sink and, you know, coming in the door and the first thing you see is a sink full of dishes, you know, that could cause some frustration, like, wow. And maybe it's not a situation where they freely communicate with each other. And so she just come in and wash the dishes. Then, you know, thinking, well, let me watch this. Maybe he'll, you know, catch on the next day.
Well, Pastor Mo, if the dishes is dirty, how come he can't wash the dishes?
Right.
A relationship is supposed to be 50-50, not 50-40.
And that goes back to the communication. I think we're not communicating. And because we're not communicating, we wait until we get mad and it becomes an all-out argument, and then we start bringing stuff up from a year ago or 2 years ago when that stuff could have probably been addressed at the time and it not be held over for so many years. And so this is a serious issue, but I guess what I'm hearing tonight is that communication is the key. And it sounds simple, but when you look at what's the number one problem or the top five reasons of divorce, communication is in the top five. It's hard for us to communicate one with each other. And because of the lack of communication, for whatever reason, it is leading to more and more problems. And now it took a letter to encourage a behavior. It took a communication to encourage a behavior, to say treat your wives like this or treat your husbands like this, because it wasn't being done. And so it takes that same encouragement in our relationships today to say, hey, you know, maybe try this, or hey, maybe do this, and see if that'll help in our relationships as we move forward. Because being taken for granted, man, that's a big issue. You know, that's a serious issue, and that could lead to somebody saying, "Man, I'm out of here." And that's why I wanted to know. You know, and Sister Trini, you said it's the how much your heart can take, and Brother Gerard said, "Well, God will reveal to you, or He'll cause something to happen." And, you know, along the way, that'll kind of give you the sign of when it's time to go. But a lot of times we go before trying to work it out. We go before trying communicating. We go, you know, before trying to seriously ask God to intervene. We use it as an opportunity to feed into other stuff. You know, somebody may be in our ear, and, you know, so we find this being the opportunity. Well, you know, I ain't going to never get respected. They take me for granted. You know, I'm not appreciated. You know, I bought flowers. I didn't even get a thank you. You know, I put gas in the car. I ain't giving up none. So I'm going to bounce. You know, I'm up. I'm going to give it somebody who appreciate without taking the time first to address the situation, you know, to talk it out. And so communication is a very important part of a relationship, being able to sit down with the person that you lay down with. And, oh, my goodness, sitting down with the person you laying down with and just talking. You know, so most people used to do it over the dinner table. But now it's over the text, you know, and it's, you know, you only can get so much out of a text versus if we at the kitchen table eating together, or we at the kitchen table having a meeting, a family meeting, or if we at the kitchen table just talking, you know, how was your day? You know, how was your day? You know, and so we've gotten away from simply talking to each other, which causes more and more problems, and the only time we communicate is through arguments. And so, you know, I see everybody's viewpoint and real good conversation. I believe somebody listening in, Sister Trina, Brother Gerard, and Brother Dennis, I believe somebody that's listening in, even though we had technical difficulties when Brother Dennis came on the line, I believe somebody is being helped by this conversation. And Brother Dennis, you got your phone on me.
I'm here.
Okay, yeah, man, we got about 2 minutes left. Go ahead and close us out with your final comments and what you got going on. And Brother Gerard, I want to thank you. And Sister Trina, I want to thank you guys for round. We had Brother LB, but he had another engagement going on. But this is a real good conversation. And I believe that somebody has gotten some information that could at least start the conversation. You know, at least they can come around the table and say, okay, what do you think about what they said? Or, you know, and at least start the conversation. You never know what will come out of it once you at least just go ahead and you know, saying we need to talk. You know, and not saying it like, uh-oh, it's going to be an argument, or uh-oh, it's going to be a blow-up, but just say, hey, can we talk? Or, you know, listen, I thought this would be a good opportunity for us to have a conversation. So go ahead, Brother Dennison, take the last couple of minutes, man, and give us everything you got going on. I don't know what's up with the system, but good thing is I played a lot of those commercials right up at the top of the program, so the people, you know, got an opportunity to hear it.
Okay. All right, well, basically, man, I just want to say, man, it's going to sound a little similar to you, Pastor Moore, because this is something that you had stated. when you go through a situation in your life, and how everybody say, man, you know, you want to be closer to God, and you get God in your life, and he will allow you to go through certain things that you're going through because you are making that person your God. You are idolizing that person. If they selfish and self-centered, you automatically know that God only wants you to focus on him. Keep your eyes on him, and then that comes second in the life, you know what I'm saying, that you have and that you got going on. So that's where it already automatically goes wrong. Yet, you know what I'm saying, sitting down with that person. I know everybody don't do it, man. That's why I always say, okay, man, when you communicate with a person, man, you got to ask that person, you know what I'm saying, what about your spirit? You know what I'm saying? Are you with God? I mean, what's your spiritual life about now? That way you automatically can feel that way or shift, and it'll show you, okay, if this person, you know, say this person a godly person, this person not a godly person. I'm not saying judging. I'm saying, okay, now I can sit down and say, okay, well, let me talk to you about this. This is the route that I'm going. This is the route I want to take. Are you with me or against me, or can you handle the situation? So that way y'all automatically got some kind of chief aim that y'all shooting for in that relationship. Like I say, man, I look at myself, man. I didn't have those, or I didn't have God in my communication, period. And when I didn't have God in my communication, you're going to automatically have this person, or you going to automatically show your features, the wrongful features that you're not supposed to do. I mean, you're supposed to be a giving person all the way around the table. But we are, you know, we are a product of our own environment that we was always around. If I was a single child, of course I'm going to be a spoiled, rotten kid, no matter how you look at the situation. But like your sister Trina said, you could grow out of it. And I'm glad she did single on the females and said that that the females complain too much. I'm about to say me. That the females do complain too much. Y'all are the one that can make that difference. Y'all are the one out of backbones for these men. If you guys stop allowing these women to be called, you know, BITCHs or whatever the case may be, I promise you, they will stop doing what they're doing. The man only going to entertain what is being entertained to him. So if you could tell me, hey, man, you know, I only respect you because, you know, you're a God-fearing person. But if you're not that God-fearing person and you doing stuff just out of the ordinary, you have every right to check me, and I have every right to say, okay, you know what, that sister right. I do have to listen about that and say, hey, you know, you got me on that point. But if you idolizing me and idolizing everything that I do, and you call yourself a sister of God or a man of God, then you just contradicted yourself. God going to allow you to go through that car wash and keep on getting washed. Keep on getting washed until you just drown. So, hey, I just say, man, get that communication in there. Throw God in there a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Throw it in there a little bit just to see. You know, even the person don't even know how to go about going to a church or go about going to whatever it is or go about knowing how to read. I get that all the time. Hey, man, I don't even know how to read a Bible. Oh, really? And I talk to that person just like I don't know how to read a Bible either because I don't know everything in that Bible. If I did, boy, I'd be a scholar. And there's some people that do know the Bible front and back and steal foods. So that's all I say, man. You got to get communication, put that communication in, just throw God in there a little bit and just see how it goes. And then go into the attributes of how you want to live, how you want to do it, what you want to make it, how you want to dress it. And then that way y'all both got a chief aim. Y'all got a good path. The path is narrow, only few may find it. That's in Matthews. And I think that's where you guys will start going down that narrow path. And that way you'll know, hey, it's kind of tight over here, but we still together. And we're still working it out, if you know this is the one. That's where you have that patience, that if you know this is the one. We have too much patience for that one, and ain't the one. We know. But that's all I got to say, Pastor Mo, man. Thank you for allowing me your time.
Man, that was what was needed to close out the show. And we right back here next week. And remember that mobile app. Download the mobile app. It is truly, if you're driving, to allow you to have just the, you know, the freedom to hit one or two buttons, and you'll be right there. So go ahead and do that. And until next week, we just say God bless you and God keep you along the way.
Amen.